Les's father, Maurice, is not very well. He's been in and out of hospital a couple of times recently, but he's now home, and Les's mother is looking after him with the help of a carer. So Leslie's trying to pop up or hurry up to see them in Scotland as much as possible at the moment. So that may be why she's not here some of the time. Lorna Talbot and John Tubman are in hospital, Kingston Hospital. And I'm not sure if many people remember her, but Joan Hobie has gone into Princess Alice Hospice. And Margaret Fiskin celebrated her 90th birthday last week. We need people to donate sandwiches and fruit for the messy church on Monday the 30th. Sally's mentioned this on the clipboard, and if you could sign up, if you could do anything, that would be really nice. That's just sandwiches and fruit that is left. And this Wednesday, the 25th of June, Kingston Third Age Orchestra are giving a free concert in this church. There's coffee at 11 a.m. and the retiring collection will be for the Kingston Food Bank. I've heard them playing. They're an excellent orchestra, and both Liz and Ken Bartlett are members, so please try and come along. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Is that volume okay? Good, fine. We are joined to say together the words of Psalm 46, which is number 692, if you're following the hymn book, but it's projected on the screen. And we'll say all the words together. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be toppled into the depths of the sea, though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its tumult, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. There is a holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be overthrown. God shall help her at the brink of death. The nations make much ado, and the kingdoms are shaken. God has spoken, and the earth shall melt away. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come now and look upon the works of the Lord, what awesome things he has done on earth. It is he who makes wars to cease in all the world. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear, and burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We join together in a round, Father, We Adore You, which is going to be led by Tony Wenman.
All groups of things include heart and spirit. Cannot say heart or mind, that's right. Heart,
We join to pray in the words projected on the screen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. God our Father, we have sinned against you and against one another in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with all our heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. But you have kept faith with us. Have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and restore us to newness of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who has faith in him may not perish, but have eternal life. To all who repent and believe, we declare in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God grants us the forgiveness of our sins. Thanks be to God. We continue our service as we hear our readings. The first one from Romans 6, verses 1 to 11. And Paul Jarman is going to read this for us.
First reading is taken from Romans chapter 6. Verses 1 to 11. What shall we say then? Should we continue to live in sin so that God's grace will increase? Certainly not. We have died to sin. How then can we go on living in it? For surely you know that when we were baptized into union with Christ Jesus, we were baptized into union with his death. By our baptism, then, we were buried with him and shared his death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the death, by the glorious power of the Father, so also we might live a new life. For since we have become one with him in dying as he did, in the same way we shall be one with him in being raised to life as he was. And we know that our old being has been put to death with Christ on his cross, in order that the power of the sinful self might be destroyed, so that we should no longer be the slaves of sin. For when a person dies, he is set free from the power of sin. Since we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that Christ has been raised from death and will never die again. Death will no longer rule over him. And so, because he died, sin has no power over him. And now he lives his life in fellowship with God. In the same way, you are to think of yourselves as dead, so far as sin is concerned, but living in fellowship with God through Christ Jesus. Amen.
We join to sing, Jesus Good Above All Other.
find it. No pupil is greater than his teacher. No slave is greater than his master. So a pupil should be satisfied to become like his teacher, and a slave like his master. If the head of the family is called Beelzebub, the members of that of the family will be called even worse names. So do not be afraid of people. Whatever is now covered up will be uncovered, and every secret will be made known. What I am telling you in the dark, you must repeat in broad daylight, and what you have heard in private, you must announce from the housetops. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. For only a penny you can buy two sparrows, yet not one sparrow falls to the ground without your Father's consent. As for you, even the hairs of your head have all been counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth much more than many sparrows. For those who declare publicly that they belong to me, I will do the same before my Father in heaven. But if anyone rejects me publicly, I will reject him before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the world. No, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I came to set sons against their fathers, daughters-in-law against their mothers-in-law. Your worst enemies will be the members of your own family. Those who love their father or mother more than me are not fit to be my disciples. Those who love their son or daughter more than me are not fit to be my disciples. Those who do not take up their cross and follow in my steps are not fit to be my disciples. Those who try to gain their own life will lose it, but those who lose their life for my sake will gain it. Amen.
The central event of Christian faith is the commemoration of a violent death, and today's readings underline the centrality of that death for the pattern of our lives and the life choices we must make. Paul asks, "Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" And in the gospel we hear Jesus' own words, "Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Given that we normally think of Christianity as primarily about love and forgiveness, these words may be confusing and fearful. The starting point for my reflections on the meaning of Jesus' death comes from an observation of the journalist Madeleine Bunting, that the point of his death is not so much the violence as the sacrifice. Arguably, she says, no word is more problematic than sacrifice in secular Britain. How can it be violent and also redemptive? Yet this is how Jesus describes the style of his life. He is a whistleblower, saying what people would rather keep hidden. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. He challenges our loyalties to family and friends. I have not come to bring peace on the earth, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. He is in no doubt about the consequences of doing these things, so far as he is himself concerned, and so far as those who follow his way. Those who find their life will lose it, he said, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This message is completely alien to us, and at the same time completely relevant to the situation we live in. The increasing gap between rich and poor people can only be addressed if the people who have money are willing to act against their own self-interest, i.e., to act sacrificially. We have a need for models of sacrifice in our society, leading to what Coakley describes as an altruism beyond calculation, inspiring and provoking the social order. Sacrifice in this context is now the only way for our society to progress. The alternative is young people with nowhere to live, while the older generation are comfortably settled. An exhausted workforce with deteriorating working conditions, while executives are paid at obscene levels, and shareholders sell firms over the heads of employees to the investors who will pay the most dividends. So we need people, starting with ourselves, to vote against their own short-term interests. We need, for example, to reject government attempts to bribe owners by offering to raise the inheritance tax level. We need people to support the building of homes for them, for people in need, even though they would prefer not to have them. There is a leadership vacuum. Our politicians will not challenge the interests of the majority, even when those interests lead directly to the poor becoming poorer and the numbers of homeless or badly housed increasing. And so the economic crisis is leading us into a moral crisis, a crisis of values. It is in this context that the gospel message about the centrality of sacrificial living challenges us. We have a responsibility to fill the leadership vacuum in our country. The word sacrifice conjures up an image of an outmoded ritual. But the sacrifice which Christ offered by dying is central to human experience. Bunting writes, "Rather than imagining our genes as selfish, struggling in a race for the survival of the fittest, we can see evolution as requiring ceaseless sacrifices, small and large, to ensure the survival of the group. If it is not sacrificial, Christian life has no cutting edge and no power. Easter becomes merely about flowers and chocolate. Christians are too nice to be interesting. What we are about is providing alternative stories to the one we are fed by the media and the state." The economy we are responsible for, the one we have developed, and the one we voted for in the ballot box, claims to be morally neutral. Yet, it routinely subordinates people's well-being for the sake of economic efficiency and growth. capitalism offers speed, convenience, and choice. And challenges to it are deflected by creating scapegoats, like people on benefits or people with disabilities who need help to remain independent. This government has been good at creating scapegoats. But Christ exposed the innocence of the scapegoat victim. Christ offered an alternative to aggressive self-interest, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, in the knowledge that we are all of unique value. However, the advocacy of sacrifice generates violence. In 1977, following the murder of a Salvadorian priest who had resisted government injustice, Archbishop Oscar Romero decided that the only mass to be celebrated on the following Sunday would be the requiem for this priest, in order to collapse the spatial barriers separating the rich and the poor. They would all have to celebrate that mass. Shortly afterwards, Romero himself was murdered. But his death unlocked a powerful reaction in Salvador and has been an inspiration to people all over the world. And we remember the Jubilee program, which started as an aspiration and which we did not expect to succeed, and how that resulted in the cancellation of debt in developing countries and generated new hope for those peoples. Christianity is about where your loyalties are. The words of Jesus challenge our loyalty, our willingness or not to accept the cost of discipleship by adopting his sacrificial lifestyle. The cost of that is symbolized in the image of taking up the cross. The powers that be, the media and the state, are comfortable with individualized Christianity, a set of personal options for leisure time. They are even more enthusiastic for using faith groups as a pool of free labor for what the state would otherwise have to pay for. But they are not happy with challenges by faith groups to the values and assumptions that underlie public policies. We know, of course, that our leaders are constrained by global competition, and that they are fearful of taking any lead on social or financial regulation. But do we really have to accept that at the top, the only motivation for working is money, and that we therefore have to pay top executives more to keep them? Whereas those who provide services, like midwives, are greedy if they claim a living wage. Do we really agree with the situation, and do we have to accept a situation in which most benefits are paid to people in work because their pay is too low to live on? So we need to question the idea that values in our society are neutral and not up for discussion or challenge by the faith communities. This, of course, will not make us popular. But what did we expect? Consider the words of Jesus in the Gospel. A disciple is not above the teacher. It is enough for the disciples to be like the teacher. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? Now, you may think that what I've said has been more political than spiritual. Cries of no, no, no. But I believe that Jesus was killed because he challenged the values of the powers that be and challenges us to do the same. Our loyalty to Jesus requires us to think clearly about what we understand by religious belonging, and not to reduce our belief to the level of a private voluntary organization of the like-minded. Like it or not, all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus, and we have been baptized into his death. The implications of that union I have begun on the surface to explore. Paul's conclusion was that only those who accept the cost of following the sacrificial way of Jesus will experience newness of life. Keep silence for a few moments. I found a hymn when I was preparing this service which looked like some kind of a response to the theme of the service, but we didn't know the tune. And it's fairly complicated. And so I'm suggesting that we say it together. And this is number 639, "This We Can Do for Justice and for Peace." And it tracks through what one can do in response to the word of Jesus. So we say it together. We can remain seated because we're going to sing next after this. This we can do for justice and for peace. We can pray and work to answer prayers that other people say. This we can do in faith and see it through, for Jesus is alive today. This we can do for justice and for peace. We can give. This we can do in love and see it through, for Jesus is alive today. This we can do for justice and for peace. We can see and help our neighbors see what is and what could be. This we can do with truth and see it through, for Jesus is alive today. This we can do for justice and for peace. Bring to light whatever hurts and tramples down or hides from sight. This we can do with strength and see it, for Jesus is alive today. This we can do for justice and for peace. We can hope, and hoping stride along our way, others grope. This we can do till God makes all things new, for Jesus is alive today. We join to sing "The Church of Christ in Every Age, Beset by Change but Spirit-Led." We join to pray, and I want to start with a prayer attributed to Sir Francis Drake, so you will see that it has things about being on the sea. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we dreamed too little, when we arrived safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we lose our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas where storms will show your mastery, where, losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to guide us into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. Spirit of God, disturb, renew, encourage, and guide us day by day. Amen. On this wonderful day, let us start with giving thanks to God. For the love of our Father, the maker of all, the giver of all things, we bless the Lord. For the world's beauty and the changing seasons, and for the life that we have been given, we bless the Lord. For Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lived and worked among us, we bless the Lord. For his suffering and death on the cross and his resurrection to new life, we bless the Lord. For his rule over all things and his presence in the world, we bless the Lord. For the Holy Spirit, the giver of life, who teaches and guides us, we bless the Lord. God our Father, we ask your blessing today on our community in Kingston. We ask for your inspiration and guidance, and for your enabling power. Strengthen all of us who offer our ministry in the name of Christ. The work we do in this place and in associated things, and in the work we do during the week, in the people we meet, and the things we say and do, and the choices we make. We bring before you the problems that we have, particularly now our need to find a new treasurer for the church. And as we do that, we offer thanks for the great work which has been done in the past. We remember also our country, and we pray for your guidance on those who hold authority and exercise leadership in our government and in our local authority. Grant that they may have a firm grasp on the long-term interests of our community and operate with care and compassion for all people. We pray for ourselves that we may be alive to the needs of our community and the people we meet day by day. Look with kindness on our homes and families, and grant that your love may grow in our hearts. Inspire us to have compassion on those who suffer from sickness, grief, or any other trouble. May you guide us in how to support them, and in your presence, may they find your strength. Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear what we ask in the name of your Son. We pray you to accept and answer our prayers, not as we ask in our ignorance, nor as we deserve in our sinfulness, but as you know and love us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue our service as we take our offertory. Eternal God, we come with these gifts to offer the praise of our lips and the service of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The hymn is Praise to the Holiest in the Height, and in the Depth Be Praise. Thank you. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon us and be with us always. Amen. We say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
it has an intermittent fault in it somewhere in an open circuit. That's why it works sometimes and not others. You just rattle that and this around and it crackles.
Where is the other one?
I don't know. I've looked in there, there's nothing in there. I'll have another look, but I'm certain it's not.